And I mean, you know, we didn't know what to do. So finally, my wife goes back home, and about that time, she began saying, you know what, if the boys didn't do it, and if Rob didn't do it, I mean, there's really only another option left. So when the lectures were done, they came to the house, and he was kind of hiding around the corner, and Kathy goes around the corner and says to my wife, you know, there's something we got to talk about. Sharon says, look, we already know. You shot a hole in the wall. He came around that corner and said, listen, he says, I'll repair the wall. He says, I'll buy the house. I'll do whatever you want. I said, no, if you'll just give me a piece of the wall that I can stick right in it, I've still got the hole in the wall. I mean, I don't have many important people shoot holes in my wall, so I'm keeping the hole. But my point is this, isn't it incredible that we have lived in a time to see Russia fall? Desperate for money. Losing people. Needing food. And then the Bible says that coming with him will be Germany and all of us, a united Germany. And we've seen that happen, haven't we? Furthermore, notice this. The omission is almost as important as what is included there. It says this, Iran, but notice no Iraq. Why no Iraq? I'll tell you why, because I think Iraq will be destroyed before Russia ever invades. You see, there are some great enemies of Israel. And among those are Russia and Iraq, and Iraq is destroyed. That's why she doesn't come down. So I believe we'll see that great fulfillment of Jeremiah 50 and 51 completed before Russia invades. Next, why would Israel ever have unwalled villages and be at rest and at peace? I'll tell you why. Because they've signed a treaty with an Antichrist. I think it's during the tribulation period of time when all this comes about. Then, so these are signs, but remember, these are signs that say that we're living close to the time the tribulation will begin. And before the tribulation ever begins, my dear friend, Christ is coming for those that know him as Savior. Are there any other signs? Well, there are some great signs. And among those, I think, have to do with the revival of a Roman Empire. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I just want to mention several things to you because I want to spend two whole sessions on the New World Order. But listen to some of these. A unified Europe, a true common market by 1992. Since the fall of the Roman Empire, there's been the dream of a unified Europe, a revived Roman Empire. That's what the paper calls it, a revived Roman Empire. Here is a very interesting book. Europe is Rising, and it gives one of the symbols that is used by the common market. It says, Europe, many tongues, one voice, and it shows the Tower of Babel with the star of Satan over it 12 times. And it says, this is our symbol because we are uniting many tongues into one voice to be a unified power to rule the world. Pretty brave statement, don't you think? We could go to all kinds of articles, and we plan to do that in our session on the New World Order, but continually they will use the Tower of Babel to represent all of their power and how that unification will bring strength. And it says, by uniting, all things are possible by having diversity, multiple languages even, as well as multiple money systems. One of the official symbols of the common market is portrayed on their new postage stamp, and it says the European Community official stamp, and it shows the worship of the goddess Europe riding on top of a bull. They just put it out. Listen, my dear friend, these are signs that the tribulation's coming. I firmly believe that the final destruction of the Babylon religion is at the end of the tribulation. It is not Iraq. Because it said it's worldwide, and I don't think the religion of Iraq will be worldwide. I think the New Age movement will be worldwide. It says it's the mother of harlots. It bred out of the same spawning ground as Genesis 10. It says there will be a worldwide economy. I don't think that the money system of Iraq is going to be worldwide. But I think instead there will be a one world system. and it will be destroyed in the last days, my dear friend. We're looking at signs for the tribulation and the end of the tribulation, and it reminds us of this, that Christ is coming and coming very soon. Are you ready? That's the question. And so he says, all right, when you see Israel, he says, when you see Israel, that was a barren tree, and you see it sprout up, Matthew 24, not bearing fruit, but become a sprout with leaves, then you know I'm near. My dear friend, we've watched Israel now for 40 years, haven't we? Here's what the Bible said. The Bible says, when you see Israel back in their land, then you'll know you're living in the last days. That's a sign for the tribulation. My dear friend, we've seen it. It says the tribulation's got to be soon. It says, when you see the deserts bloom, then you know my coming is near. We're watching the deserts bloom, aren't we? It says, when you see Israel become a mighty, powerful army, then you know I'm very near. I have a statue, a sculpture, a Jewish sculpture that I got in Israel. And I really like this. You may not, but it's a marvelous picture of some skeletons coming up out of the ground, the Valley of Dry Bones. And several years ago, when someone gave me this from a Jewish sculpture shop, the lady, the artist there, I'd been to see it about 2 or 3 years in a row. She knew me. I came in so often. And when I bought it, she says, do you know what that means? I said, I think I do. I said, do you know what it means? And she took this statue, she held it like this, and she says, that's the picture of us. She said, we're the Valley of Dry. She said, we're the dry bones. We came up again. We're a nation again. I said, you know what? We agree exactly. The only difference we have is I think that Jesus is the Messiah. Oh, my dear friend, this is Israel, isn't it? You know what the Bible said? In the last days, when you see Israel come up like a valley of dry bones, and when they become a great army, then you know it's very near the tribulation. And you see, before the tribulation can ever begin, the church will be called home. I really believe that there's yet another great sign. It says that Israel will be without a king, without a prince, without a sacrifice for many years. And then, he says, in those last days, one of the great signs will be that Israel will begin to sacrifice again. Can you believe that we are living in a day and a time when Israel honestly believes that they're on the verge of sacrificing? It is interesting because, you see, while Christians have a hard time believing it, the Jews don't. Here's an article out of the New York Times. Group in Israel predicts arrival of Messiah soon. That's the New York Times. That's not a Christian publication. The Jerusalem Post International, in search of the red heifer. And this man talks about the fact, he said, according to our tradition, the Messiah will come during the time of the 10th red heifer. We believe there have been 9 already sacrificed, and we are breeding the 10th one now. We drove through the village on this last trip where they're working on breeding animals suitable for sacrifice. I have a postcard. It's put out by the Temple Institute of Hebrew Worship. The front of it is a red cow superimposed against the items of the tabernacle. Notice I said the tabernacle, not the temple. Because they're prepared to begin to build a tabernacle any moment. Not a temple. The temple is a millennial temple. It'll be built in the millennium. But they could erect animal skins and sheets of material very soon. And these people leave. Here's another one. Speedily and in our time, the Jews are saying, isn't this the right time to build the temple? Time magazine. It says this, time for a new temple. And they say there's only 3 things that you have to consider. Number one, who are the priests? They say, well, they know who 200 of them are. Where are the things to help in the worship? And they say, well, here's the reconstruction of the priest's garments. And by the way, you'll see one just a minute on a video. Here are some of the items, including the harp. The last thing, the place. Oh, they say, we know the place, and they describe it. It's just to the side of the Dome of the Rock. You don't need to remove the Dome of the Rock. The place is just north of it. Now, listen to this. Here's what they say finally. Time Magazine says this. One difficulty is the requirement, as in Numbers 19, verses 1 through 10, that the priests purify their bodies with the cremated ashes of an unblemished red heifer before they enter the temple. Following the go-ahead from the chief rabbi, the institute now is scouting in Europe for heifer embryos that will shortly be implanted into cows and an Israeli cattle kibbutz. My dear friend, the worship doesn't take place until after the church is gone. You see, that's a sign for the tribulation, isn't it? But we're watching it. That says this, Christ could come at any minute. We're not looking for signs. There's signs all around, but we're not looking for signs. We ought to be listening for a shout. We ought to be looking for Christ. Israel, the barren fig tree, says, when you see it coming back, then you know I'm very near. Mighty friend, I really believe the coming of Christ is near. I really believe that while some are counting years, we ought to be looking at months. And while some are counting months, we ought to be looking at weeks. And while some are counting weeks, we ought to be looking at days. And mighty friend, there's not one guarantee for someone who's here today without Christ that Jesus won't come today. Are you ready? Listen, I really believe that if we knew how near we were to the coming of Christ, mighty friend, we'd live differently. Oh, I tell you, the gospel would come out of our lips. Every time we saw a soul, we think of eternity instead of profit. We begin to think of the reality of what it means for all eternity for a soul to be apart from God. Mighty friend, Jesus died so that every sinner could have forgiveness of sins and could be on their way to heaven. And sometimes we go a week and don't tell a single soul the best news they could ever hear. Jesus died for you. Jesus is coming again for you. My dear friend, may God give us the strength to live differently. For I really believe that we're living in the last hours, the last minutes of the church age. Time is about to stop. Eternity is about to begin. You see, really, it is true, as the song says, the next meal you eat, it may be the marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, the next song you sing, it might be a real song of worship around the feet of Christ. The next hand you shake might be a nail-pierced hand. And the next face you see, my dear friend, it could well be the face of Jesus. Are you ready? Listen, we're seeing so many signs. My dear friend, get your eyes off of signs and let's get our eyes on Christ. Let's be looking for Christ to come today. And as we go, may we be working and watching and waiting for the return of Christ. May it be our blessed hope. May there not be another passion in all of life that compares in any way to the thrill of seeing Jesus Christ. And I believe if we're looking for Christ, my dear friend, I believe there will be unsaved that will say, you know what, I want to live like you. I mean, if he's that wonderful, I want to see him too. Oh, listen, there's no hope for this old world. They'll have a man of peace. They'll have a new world order. They'll have a peace treaty. But my dear friend, it won't solve a single problem with it. But I tell you, there is one who solves problems. There's one who can right every wrong. There's one who can forgive every sin. There's one who's made a home for us. His name is Jesus. My dear friend, is he your Savior today? Do you know him? And if you know him, are you living for him? May we make every minute and every hour that's remaining in the church age really count for the cause of Christ. I'm going to show to you just 5 or 6 minutes of a video. This was filmed on the famous day when some of the temple faithful tried to ordain a high priest. His name was Jesus Cohen. They tried to lay a cornerstone. You'll see him dressed in exactly the garments that were shown in Time magazine. You'll see him pouring water out of a golden pitcher, exactly according to the Feast of Trumpets. And then you'll hear interviews with Jews that are looking for the Messiah to come, including when they think the temple might worship might begin. We'll try to get this on the video. If not, if it doesn't come out very well, we'll try to cut it in later. But I think when you see this, you'll see how near we are. Mighty friend, it's for the tribulation. Before that ever begins, I wouldn't be surprised if we hear the sound of the trumpet and the invitation, come up here. Are you ready?
Starting with the Western world, we can ask ourselves, documenting the activities of they call the Temple Mount Faithful,
as they marched out of the old city to dedicate this stone, which, according to the rabbis, must be fashioned without using any metal instruments. In the crowd of young and old alike, you could sense the excitement and joy of this event. As we moved through the marchers, many people spoke of the need to prepare for the coming of Messiah.
David prepared gold and silver and everything for the temple that Solomon built. And we haven't started preparing for the stone. One of the many stones that we're going to have to pull to this site to build the temple, the first stone.
As the march continued, a feeling of celebration emerged as the symbols of Jewish tradition blended with the modern elements of the electronic media and the Israeli soldiers.
See the great celebration? Are they excited about worship?
Participants who described the dedication of the cornerstone.
Everything was brought down to the Pool of Shiloh, or the Shiloh Pool, where the water was drawn out by the Kohen Gadol, or as close as we can get to the Kohen Gadol.
Do you hear her answer? Why not? Now that's a Jew. We shall build him a house, and this is the place it must be. We must have stones cut without hands. All of the commandments are to be fulfilled here again. Begun it again. Okay, we'll stop there. Do you notice that? They even have a day picked out when they must begin certain preparations so that they can welcome the Messiah. Otherwise, he will not come at that time. Now, I can tell you that 5 years ago in Israel, there was not that excitement about sacrifice. There was not that excitement about temple worship, but there is today. And remember what Hosea said? It says this, that Israel, many days, Israel will be without a king, without a prince, without a sacrifice. But then Israel will return. And when they return, those things will be true. And when that happens, we know that that's a great sign. That's not a sign for the rapture, is it? That's a sign so they can begin to sacrifice, and that sacrifice is something that must be true in the middle of the tribulation. You see, we could be raptured today, then the sacrifice could start. Now, they could begin sacrifice. That wouldn't hurt anything, would it? But it's got to start so it can stop by the middle of the tribulation. It's a sign. And signs are for the tribulation. But we're looking for Christ, and he could come today. As I look at that excitement, oh, I pray that we'll have that excitement looking for our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, there are a lot of other signs. They found a vial of oil. They say it's to anoint the Messiah. My dear friend, do you realize that Israel, before they ever anointed King David, who did they anoint? Saul, the false king. And I tell you, I fear because they are so ready right now for a man of peace that if a man of peace were to show up, they would anoint him as the king of Israel. And he'll turn out to be the Antichrist. And after that, then they will anoint the real Messiah, their David, the Lord Jesus Christ. The stage is set. As desperate as they are for peace, I really believe that we will see them sign a treaty with an Antichrist. We'll see them anoint a false one as the king, and God will have to destroy him with the brightness of his coming to redeem Israel. My dear friend, we're alive during the most incredible time that has ever been for mankind, and I pray, oh God, help us to have a message on our lips and on our hearts that nothing can stop, nothing can silence, because we really are the people that will be alive when Jesus comes back. Let's pray. Father God, what a day and time to live in. And as we see these people celebrating, oh Lord God, may it cause us to see how near we are to the coming of Christ. Father, we know that you will rule over the earth, and of your kingdom there will be no end. But before that, there will be that dread day, Armageddon. And Father, before Armageddon, there will be the tribulation. And thank God, before the tribulation can ever begin, there will be the sound of the trumpet. Father, may everyone in this room examine whether they're ready for Christ to come. This we pray and ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.